Hello and welcome to Faith and Freedom. I'm Chimene Nugent. Can you believe everything that's been going on this week? We've had a busy week. The House Oversight Committee identified over 20 companies from which President Trump's family received over $10 million. Wait, did I say President Trump? I meant President Biden, the Biden family. But imagine how mainstream media would have been plastering that information all over if it were President Trump. And then also this week we had Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announcing that the CIA killed his uncle, President John F. Kennedy. Then millions of migrants have filtered into our once sovereign country, even after Secretary Mayorkas said this. Take a look.
Is our border secure?
Our border is secure. Border is secure because we are maximizing our resources to deliver the most effective results to our border with the most extraordinary workforce in the world.
Billions of your taxpayer dollars have gone to Ukraine to protect their border. But, you know, we've been lied to about a lot of things, and Americans deserve to know the truth about why 9 Biden family members received millions of dollars from other countries. And why is it that before we get on an airplane, we're patted down and stripped of our cell phones and our laptops, but millions of foreign nationals are invading our country without anyone investigating what's in their bags? Americans deserve answers. Joining us live now to comment is, straight from the border, Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers. Pete, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here, Chimene, as usual.
I don't even know where to start. I'm going to let you take the floor. People are so angry about what's going on that our sovereign country has collapsed. I'm wearing black. I was thinking about what I could wear today, and I was going to wear some bright color, and I'm like, no, this is the beginning of the end, is it not?
You're pulling the, what I call a Johnny Cash, and when that's why he wore his was for the we're at the pinnacle right now of our existence as a nation, and I want to share something in response to Mr. Mayorkas. I hope that he's listening. This morning, I got a text from a Border Patrol agent. I'm just going to read it direct because it's probably important that you hear direct words. Starting this morning, the Rio Grande Valley McAllen Station, all Border Patrol details are canceled. Details, that's the folks going out the line. 90% of each shift must report to the staging area in McAllen, leaving only 5 agents per shift. That's 50 miles of river. 5 agents per shift. Impossible. They might as well be raising the white flag. You're on your own down here, Doc. Don't reach out for help. I'll try to come and get you if you need some help. This is what we're doing. These are citizens that are doing this in conjunction with Mayorkas' people down there who know that he's doing the wrong thing. And this is, it's wide open. And I got it. There are people that are hurting and they are being used as pawns. That's not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the needles in the needle stack, the bad actors that are coming across. That and the people are being used as a pawn to overwhelm the system.
Yeah, and every time we see video of all the people, all the lines, the thousands of people standing in line. Number one, it doesn't look like they spent a day outdoors overnight, and they seem to have fresh, clean clothes. Their hair doesn't look like it's messed up. I certainly would be carrying a lot more than just a backpack. Which, by the way, what's in the backpacks, Pete? I mean, who knows, right?
Well, we do know this, and this is directly from Michael Yon, who's reporting from El Paso right now, but he was in Darien last week, that they are handing out, and I hate to bring this even up, but to some of the women, rape kits, which are to protect themselves when they're traveling through some of the areas in the Darien Gap, if they come that way. But they're also carrying cash cards that are given to them by the UN, the UNESCO people. And some of them are getting cell phones at the border. So I don't know who's all acting behind that. There are people that are searching that and finding out. But that's just part of it. But there are NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that are completely behind the money that goes into that.
Where are they going? Do you have any idea where they're going, where they're headed?
Right now, because of the lack of personnel on the border to handle an already overwhelmed system, Many of them are being released back out on the streets into the Rio Grande Valley, or I'm just on the Texas sector, all the way down to Del Rio, released into town. But many of them are getting on, at least this morning, the planes went out to Denver, to Florida, I don't know exactly where, and then Chicago. These were planes direct from the Rio Grande Valley, so that'd be McAllen Airport, with escorts that are through Department of Homeland Security, an entity that transports these people for them, putting direct on planes, putting them out in cities around the country.
I was headed to Dallas-Fort Worth Airport one time, and traveling up I-35, I saw about 9 of these buses, and they were escorted front and back. I couldn't cut in between them when there was a little bit of a gap. They were headed to the airport, and, you know, it breaks my heart because I think of our military that have been left behind. Who's taking care of them? Who's giving them cell phones? Who's giving them clean clothes? Who's giving them a bus ticket or a plane ticket or a train ticket somewhere?
Had this conversation last night with another veteran, another guy that I was helping to get his disability, because, you know, the Veterans Administration disability is not an entitlement program, but it's being treated as such. And then the audits that are going to go on right now for the veterans, to if they make too much money on the outside, they have a side job, they're looking at cutting back veterans benefits. So along those lines, yeah, it's a stab in the back to guys like us.
So you're right on the border, or within, what did you say, 40 meters of the border? Tell us what
400 yards.
400 yards. What are you seeing down there right now?
So right now, in the sector that I was in a year and a half ago, where there were 12,000 people coming across a week over the whole 1,200 some odd miles of Texas, it's 3 times as many. The typical pattern back then was you would have groups coming across at night. Now it's just all day long. It overwhelms the system. Now when we see Border Patrol agents that are having to come off the river, like I said, only 5 for that 50-mile sector, that's impossible to manage. You can't. So typically, we would, as National Guardsmen, we would escort them to the Border Patrol agents on the border at different points where they'd walk off the river. And now there's no one to escort them to. So they're just afoot. You talk about humanitarian issues. People will die. This is a hot part of the year. We're getting into extremely. People will die. We've done medical procedures on children year and a half ago that were dying of heat exhaustion. This is a travesty beyond anything I've ever seen. And I've been on numerous borders around the world. And just from the humanitarian aspect, this is treating people less than animals.
And speaking of animals, I've seen also videos of people coming to the border, leaving their dogs at the border on the Mexican side. What's happening with, have you seen that too?
No, I haven't seen that. I've been focusing on
this
aspect.
You're on the other side.
Yeah. And so, you know, from what we're doing as citizens now, as a citizen of the state of Texas, is, We're helping the sheriff's offices, because the sheriffs are basically the end-all be-all when it comes to the laws in the state of Texas. And the fact that Governor Abbott issued a proclamation, if you will, that there is an invasion on the border, and that the cartels on the Mike side, as we call it, the Mexican side, are foreign terrorist organizations. The sheriffs have to step up their game. They're just not getting the same response from the federal side that we'd like to see, which is not going to happen. So let's just be realistic here. So we're taking our focus off the optics of this thing, and we, the people, are stepping up to create the reality, which is the ability to handle the numbers of people. And we just, you know, we don't have enough people to do it, but they're more and more every day. But also to deputize people that have law enforcement experience or military experience, get the appropriate credentials, and to stand a post so that we can help to weed out the nefarious actors, the needle in the needle stack, I call it, that are coming across with fentanyl, with drugs, coming across with guns more frequently now than did last year, and to assist local law enforcement in a legal, moral, and ethical manner.
So what is the process if people want to get involved? Who do they call? Where do they go? How do they sign up?
Right. So depending on which county, they need to talk to their sheriff's office. And some sheriffs have gotten together in a coalition of sheriffs in Texas. So each particular county has a different flavor. Unfortunately, that flavor is dictated by politics, and the politics really is what's going to end up hurting them in the long run. But, you know, talking to their sheriffs, talking to their neighborhood watch programs, finding out where they can weigh in locally, because we really have no way for me to handle, you know, people from around the country to do that. But as they get plugged in the system, then groups like mine, and I'm not the only one, there's others down here that are helping, can then be liaised with the sheriff's office to actually help out. Even if it's just bringing water down, because it's a humanitarian crisis as well as an invasion.
And we know that there are some that are trying to escape horrific situations in other countries. What percentage, though, whenever I see the video, I always see fighting-aged men, and a lot of them. What percentage do you think those are?
You brought up a really good point, really important point, is that the Title 42, everybody talks about, the Remain in Mexico policy, that was originally created for a couple of things, but one of them was if somebody came across, when I was working on the border, it was a single male, and certain countries fit in the category, certain didn't. It changed every month, so I can't tell you which ones were allowed or not allowed based upon amnesty rules. But I can tell you this, that the men that stayed in Mexico are now the ones that are going to be coming through when the Title 42 is lifted.
It's so horrific to think about what is going on and what's going to be happening with this country. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts? Is there hope for this country, or is this the beginning of the end of the United States?
Well, for me, it's never that, because I'm that guy with the glasses half full, but I'm also a realist, and I don't operate in the optics world. You know, the narrative world, narratives are half truths and half not. You know, I'm looking at these pictures scroll here, and I'm saying, I'm getting, you know, flashbacks on being on the border. It is, we the people have to do this, period. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And the sheriffs want that. The constitutional sheriffs want that. I can't speak for all of them, but the ones that I've met and I talked to, otherwise I cut sling load, as we call it in the military. I'm done with those other ones. If they want to do that and that's what they want in their county, that's what's going to happen. But they're going to get overrun. We are decisively engaged. And the only way to stop this and the only way to fix this is to, from the top down, not the only way, but the top down has to marry up with the bottom up. You know, the grassroots is where we're at. And those things got to marry in the middle. Unfortunately, there are people that are from our superiors in that world that don't want to see that happen.
We've got a great sheriff here in McLennan County, Sheriff Parnell McNamara. So, and we're in touch with him often, like almost every day. Pete, thank you so much for joining me. God bless you. And we'll keep you and all the Border Patrol agents in our prayers. And everybody who lives down near the border, stay prayed up. Thank you again for joining me.
God bless.
God bless. We'll be right back. We've got a full show, and coming up, a doctor whose goal is to provide free medical care for all Americans. Coming up next. Washington State is now helping runaway kids, but not in the way that you think. Under Senate Bill 5599, licensed youth shelters no longer have to report the location of a runaway child to their parents if the child is running away because they want to change their gender. Now, I find it interesting because we don't allow kids to drive cars until they're 16 or buy alcohol until they're 21. But if you're a 12-year-old who thinks you were born in the wrong body, you can get a life-changing surgery without your parents knowing. Joining us live now to discuss is a member of America's Frontline Doctors and the founder of MyFreeDoctor.com, Dr. Ben Marble. Hello, doctor. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, Shemaine. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
And can I mention to everybody that you actually treated Ted and I?
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
And, yes, you know, ma'am. Saved our lives. And one of the reasons that I'm on this platform on Real America's Voice is because I got kicked off of Twitter probably for talking about what you and I were just talking about, getting vitamin D from the sun, exercising Correct. And keeping our bodies healthy, and ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Why are they so afraid of us to have free speech, especially when it comes to our medical situation? And then I also wanted to get your comment on this bill in Oregon.
Well, you know, political correctness is the exact opposite of free speech. So I would argue that by the First Amendment, political correctness is actually illegal in America. And they hate free speech. And, you know, the PC commies, the PC cult. PC is the world's largest, most successful brainwashing of all time. And the simple way of proving that, you know, never before in history have we even gotten 1 billion people to do the same thing. Well, political correctness just convinced nearly 6 billion people that poison was safe and effective. That's the power of the level of this brainwashing. And the problem with PC is they deny reality. God gave us reality, right? But they hate the reality God gave them. They don't like their genitals, for example, and they think if they cut them off and take a bunch of hormones, that changes their sex. Well, that's fake science. That's not real science. The real science is no human can change their sex ever, period. They claim men can get pregnant, people can change their sex, and they claim poison's a vaccine. This is all proof that they just follow fake science. So PC is the root cause of all the problems we're seeing on globally. It's the world's largest religion for atheists, basically, is what it is. It's like a cult, but on a big, epic level of billions of people. So this thing in Washington is just nuts. What most people don't understand about transitioning a child, if you transition a child prior to puberty, that child is sterile forever. So what it really is, it's not transitioning, it's child sterilization. So the state of Washington advocating for sterilizing children without parental consent, they've just gone so far off the deep end of crazy town. We have to start holding the doctors who are butchering, you know, young 14, 15 year old girls, cutting their breasts off. Those doctors need to be arrested and thrown in prison. Doctors advocating for the sterilization of children. Like I call them, you know, Biden's, Richard Levine. I call him Dr. Dick Levin. His name's Richard Levine. He should be arrested. He's encouraging okay, that's sterilization.
That's the best laugh I've had all day. Sorry.
It's a pretty good one, and it's comical, but apparently he had the bottom surgery and had it cut off, so it left.
Really?
You know, all the, you know, the clown circus of the Biden administration, he hires all these people. You know, in the 1960s, 1970s, where were all the trans people? They were all locked up in psych wards like they should be. Let's make psych wards great again, because if you think you're the opposite sex that you're actually born as, you're just insane. You're mentally ill. That's a mental illness. You can never actually change your sex. So we need to start putting these people back in mental institutions where they belong. And we need to hold these people who are pushing sterilization of children. We need to hold them accountable. They need to be arrested. Especially the doctors who are doing these crazy, you know, genital mutilation surgeries to these people, pretending it's a sex change. That's just barbaric horror. It's crazy. I can't even believe they're doing it and getting away with it, and not going to jail. We need real men to show up and start holding these people accountable. We need a federal ban on transitioning children. Anybody under the age of 18, there should be a federal ban on that. Certainly it should be illegal to sterilize a child. I mean, this is common sense. We shouldn't even be having to have this discussion. This is all nuts, but that's what we go ahead.
What about the Hippocratic oath that doctors take to do no harm? How does that come
Correct.
Into play?
First do no harm. Here's how this comes into play, because what they don't say is after they transition these people and they do these crazy surgeries and give them all the hormones, the suicide rate goes way up after transitioning. It doesn't go down. If it actually helped them, then the suicide rate would go down, but it doesn't. In fact, people who actually transition, they are much more likely to commit suicide. It's proof it's bad. And why would they do that? Well, everything the PC cult, PC commies favor, their biggest goal is population control. They want to reduce the global population. Now, this gets into the globalist agenda, the World Economic Forum with the billionaires and the globalists. and their Great Reset, World Economic Forum's Great Reset, is actually just a cull of the human herd. And so what we've just all witnessed is the greatest mass poisoning in human history. They poisoned nearly 6 billion people. And because of that, the died suddenly mass die-off is in progress. People all over the world dropping like flies, young people dying suddenly. And the one thing they all have in common is they took these fake vaccine poisons.
Where do you think this is going to go? I mean, will there ever be accountability for this? Is Bill Gates going to get in jail? Is he going to get arrested?
Certainly, I hope so. We need Bill, Bill Gates of hell, George Soros, all the others, Fauci. I call him Dr. Death. Fauci is what I call him. They need to all be arrested and held accountable. We need Nuremberg 2.0. All the poison pushers need to be on trial. And if convicted, they need to get life in prison or whatever the punishment is going to be. But if we don't hold them accountable, that means we're going to lose this war. We're in a world war. Yes. Why did they do this to us? What did they do? Okay, let's
recap. There's only one reason. Yeah. There's why they want to do that.
They did it to take down Trump, to destroy America, and bring in the one world government, the central digital banking currency system, the Chinese social credit score system. That's their long-term plan. So if we don't hold these people accountable, that means they're going to win and America's going to die.
And people have been locked down during the pandemic. They were locked down. They were in their homes. You know what I find interesting that not many people are talking about? I had talked to Dr. Lee Merritt. I don't know if you know who she is, but other people too. Nobody talked about during that time, they put up the 5G towers. Mm-hmm. And what are the effects of 5G radiation on us? And are they similar to COVID?
Certainly, that is a big concern. And, a lot of people are questioning, why did they put up all these 5G towers? Is that going to be part of what they're planning for, the one world government? Is it somehow related to that? Certainly, it gets into the idea, the Internet of bodies, which is where they're trying to turn people into Internet devices. And somehow maybe that's all connected to the 5G in some way. There's a bunch of different theories on that, and I don't claim to know what the real agenda is, but what I do know is these COVID-19 fake vaccines are just straight up poison, and we got to get them banned, pulled off the market as soon as possible. Yeah. The first step when you see a mass poisoning is you got to stop poisoning people, so we have to stop the shots. We need a global ban on gain-of-function, mad science. We need a global ban on the spike protein because they're trying to put it in the food now. They're trying to give it to all the pigs and cattle with the farmers. And it's just this craziness from the globalists, the billionaires, the Bill Gates types and George Soros and all those guys. They're doing this to cull the human herd, to take down America, to bring in their one world government, which sounds an awful lot like the mark of the beast system as foretold in the Bible. I mean, if you were trying to design a mark of the beast system, I don't know how you could do any better job than what they're doing.
It's really interesting how it definitely parallels what was predicted in the Bible. I want to shift to something a little bit more positive, if that's possible. Sure. You're the first doctor to provide free health care for all Americans. So talk about that for a minute.
Sure, absolutely. Back in March of 2020, I decided, I did all the studying I could, read up on it, and decided that hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc were probably the best early treatments we had. And I just ignored Fauci and just, Trump came on TV and said he wanted doctors to practice across state lines, and he made the legal changes that made that possible. So I just started treating patients for free all 50 states, prescribing hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc. Later on, we added ivermectin. And over time, that snowballed. We got more doctors on the team. And now we have, we've delivered over 300,000 free doctor visits to America. We've only lost 6 patients total. We have a survival rate using multiple drug early treatment of 99.99%. We have settled the science. Multiple drug early treatment works. What do we know does not work? These fake vaccines, they don't work unless you're trying to cause harm. So I tell everybody, whether you had, 99% of the listeners, they're poisoning victims. Whether they had the COVID Frankenstein virus or whether they took the shot, either way, they're a poisoning victim. So if you're a poisoning victim or you need a doctor that's a real doctor, not a fake doctor poison pusher, go to myfreedoctor.com, assuming you live in America, and click the Become a Patient link and fill out our intake form, and we'll get a doctor on your case and try to do what we can to help you. We treat everybody for free. After we're done treating the patient, we do ask for a donation. If people can donate, great. If they can't, that's fine. So it's basically a pay it forward system that we've created. And I'm really excited because we're about to launch My Free Doctor India later this month. We're going to launch a pilot in India, and we're hoping to bring this model, this pay it forward free doctor model, to multiple, you know, hopefully the whole planet eventually, because this is how we can create a new parallel system. The old system is broken. Current medical system in America, I call them health spittles. You don't want to be in a health spittle. You want to avoid the health spittle at all costs, because what they do when you go there is they stop all the right drugs, they start all the wrong drugs, and they're incentivized. They make more money if you go to the ICU and wind up dead. The hospital gets paid more.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well,
so we have, you know.
Thank you. Thank you so much for what you're doing, Dr. Marble. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you for joining me. And I know we'll be in touch, and keep playing the guitar, right?
Oh, and absolutely. Singing. I will. I will. One of these days, I got to find an excuse to come jam with Ted.
That'd
One thing
great.
I do tell everybody is pray and fasting. Prayer and fasting help if you're poisoned. Prayer helps repair DNA damage. Fasting helps reboot your immune system. And both of those things are free. So everybody can pray and fast.
I love it. All right.
Read your Bible as well. It was great talking to you. I know you got to run, and we're running out of time. But thank you so much for all you do, and keep in touch.
Thank you. God bless. All right. Coming up next, an actor from the blockbuster movie Jesus Revolution. Stay tuned.
The psychedelic experience is a confrontation with the divine. It's a spiritual awakening. You come back and you define God the best you can. So turn on, tune in, and drop out. Start a new sequence of behavior that matches your vision. Be reborn.
That was a clip from Jesus Revolution, a blockbuster movie that I loved. And one of the characters in the movie, Dr. Timothy Leary, calls on an audience member in a rock concert to turn on, tune in, and drop out. And that was a famous hippie slogan. But he ends up drawing in a young man who ends up being the leader of this great revival. Joining us live now, the actor who played Timothy Leary, Steve Hanks. Steve, thank you so much for joining me.
You're so welcome. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, Shemaine.
I loved that movie, and just seeing that clip, I got goosebumps. How was it? What did it feel like to be a part of that?
I got goosebumps too. I no matter when I see even that little clip, I get tears in my eyes.
When I
first got the script, or rather when I first showed up on set, I spoke to Brent, he's the director, and I said, Brent, I'm thinking that these people are looking for God through their LSD, through their drugs, through their sex, through everything. And he looked at me and he said, you got it. When you do the scene, you do it just like that. That was the first day. And from then it has just exploded into something. Of course, we got the revival going on that started in Asbury, I believe. You just quoted Esther, such a time as this. I believe the movie, the glory of God, it is for such a time as this.
Absolutely. And I'm so grateful that I caught a glimpse of one of your videos on Instagram, and I like to reach out to people and say, hey, I love what you do. Congratulations. Because I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of, you know, people criticizing you all the time.
Yep.
And I'm glad that we connected like this, but talk about why you decided to do these Instagram reels.
started as kind of a loosey-goosey kind of a thing. I was in Santa Barbara last summer, and I thought, I'm just going to throw some videos up and just have some fun. I had about 650 followers, and a couple of them would hit 500 or 700, maybe 1,000 views. But then, Shemaine, all of a sudden, about 2 months ago, it just started leapfrogging. I would look and there would be 2,000 followers a day. They were liking my videos. It just became this monstrosity of like trying to hang on to the reins of a wild team of horses. And then it blew up. So I was just scrolling through one day, which I don't always do, and I saw a little blue check mark. And sometimes the blue check marks are somebody that paid $15 a month, and sometimes it's somebody that is a big name like Shemaine Nugent. So I clicked on that name. I wonder if this is Ted Nugent's wife. I do a little Google search. Lo and behold, it's you. And you and I got to talk in a little bit. Look at where it led. This is the thing about God. When you just follow the little baby steps, they turn into this magnificent, magnificent, glorious tapestry of his work in your life.
It's so true. You've been in a lot of other movies. Talk about some of your favorite roles.
Some of my favorite roles. Let's go back to the very beginning. And I had a television series with the beautiful Michelle Pfeiffer before she was ever Michelle Pfeiffer. It was an Aaron Spelling show. It was right after Starsky and Hutch. Half your viewers don't even know what we're talking about here.
I do.
But, you do. So that segued into, I played Daisy Duke's boyfriend on Dukes of Hazzard. I'm one of the lucky guys in the world that can claim to have kissed Daisy Duke. And then one thing led to another, and it just snowballed, and then it dried up. And I did a bunch of independent features. But then, 15 years ago, I flew to Charlotte to meet a casting director, and his name is Mark Fincannon, largest casting director on the East Coast. I didn't get the part, but he followed me out, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he says, "Who are you? Where have you been?" You know what that means? At the time, I was about, I think, 58, and that means you should be working. And he looked at me, and he said, "You and I are going to work together one day." That was 15 years ago. Talk about these little seeds, Shemaine. Mm-hmm. Little baby seeds. That's the kingdom of God. It's like a mustard seed that when planted, it grows and sprouts and becomes a tree that everything else, all the birds of the air can come and flock under. Anyway, it was Mark Fincannon 15 years later that texted me and said, "I got a part for you. You want to read for it?" I said, "Sure." It was Jesus Revolution.
Mm. I love that. That is just amazing. Now, what was it like to be on set every day with people whose goal, you know, I was a part of, I don't know if you've ever heard of Abe's Pals. There was an organization by Gary Sinise a long time ago, probably 20 years ago, where conservatives couldn't talk about being conservative in Hollywood. And what was it like being on set where you could talk about Jesus freely and openly, and it was encouraged?
The girl that played Janis Joplin, she sang her heart out, but she had this some sort of a physical thing where she would get massive migraines, and she was getting a migraine that day, and she was crying. She was just bawling her eyes out. I said, "What's going on?" She said, "I got this big migraine, and I don't want it to hit now. Not now." And I said, "Come here." And I put my hands on her. I prayed. I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command this migraine to die, wither and die." She got up there. And if you saw the movie, she sang her heart out as Janis Joplin. There was that kind of events that were happening. Jonathan Rumi, he and I, the guy that plays Jesus in The Chosen, the guy that played Lonnie Frisbee in the movie, he and I were chatting in the makeup room. That guy sold out. Mm-hmm. Sold out. I mean, sold out for God. Mm-hmm. I mean, the minute he opened his mouth, I said, "Oh, Lord, you're real. You're the real deal."
Man, I love it. You're making me cry here. And I do get emotional. Do you remember the Folgers coffee commercials when the mom and dad were upstairs in bed and the son would come home from college and she'd smell the coffee while she was in bed. And she, you know, I would get teary eyed for that. So imagine what I'm going through now. I'm like really trying to fight back the tears. This is an emotional time. And I do believe we were born for this time, but we've got to put on that full armor of God. And when your father tells you to put on the full armor, it's not what a lot of people want to hear. They just want to sit back and relax. Steve, what would you say to people right now that we got to fight this spiritual war? How would you encourage them to do that?
Seek first the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? It is righteousness, joy, and peace. What is righteousness? In Hebrew, it's the word tzaddik, and it means almsgiving. It means generosity. It's an act of love. And so the kingdom of God is love, joy, and peace. That is also the fruit of the Spirit. When Christians will pursue that peace, like Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first peace, happiness, joy, the fruit of the Spirit, then all these things will be added to you. That is what I want to proclaim from the mountaintops to the body of Christ, to the world, to the people that don't like God. It doesn't matter. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to have peace.
And I've enjoyed talking with you so much. I apologize, but you have a new book out. I've got 30 seconds for you to tell us all about that.
Right, there it is. The question, no promos here. The question that you just asked me, what do you have a message? It is all in that book. Can I say the title?
Yes.
Shitty to Happy in 21 Minutes. Shitty to Happy in 21 Minutes. Oh, there it is right there. Oh,
and where can people find it?
They can find it on Amazon. Go to Amazon, type in Shitty to Happy in 21 Minutes, and they will give you 7 free chapters if you click on the Kindle version. There's no way you can read that and not want the book. Get that book. It will set you free like you can't even imagine.
I love it. Steve, thank you so much for joining me. God bless. Human trafficking is a $1 trillion industry that affects millions in the worst way possible. It's the buying and selling of human life as modern-day slavery for labor or sex. The International Labor Organization estimates that 27.6 million people were forced into labor of some sort in 2021. And if the trends are any indication, I doubt those numbers have gotten any better. Joining us live now, the founder of Adaptive Ops, Eros Mackey. Eros, how are you?
Hey, I'm so good, Shemaine, and it's so great to be on your show again.
Oh, I love having you on. But I hate it at the same time. You're doing God's work. You're rescuing people from this modern day slavery. Talk a little bit about Adaptive Ops and what you do.
Okay. Yeah. We're a counter human trafficking organization. And we have dabbled in every part of countering human trafficking, from being a part of sting operations to trapping predators and things like that. But I've found that the most effective part of my work is focused on uniting families. That's where I get the most mileage out of my efforts. I feel like the families themselves have the ability to provide support that the victims need after they become survivors. And then I basically help align all the aftercare that the family's going to need to help support their loved one.
And that's just as big of an issue, is the aftercare. How do you do it? How do you cut the umbilical cord, so to speak, and you do your job, you rescue these poor human beings, men, women, and children, and hand them off and then go on and do the next one? I mean, do you carry this with you, or are you able to just close the door to it and live your life as normal?
Yeah. Well, there's a few things that I want to address in what you asked. First of all, you mentioned umbilical cord. It's a pretty good example because the traffickers tend to develop that source where the survivor or the victim is relying upon them. I refer to it more often as an invisible leash, because it's more, a little more of brute force. There's fear attached and fear of the unknown. The victims have their value, their personal value, their self-worth beaten down to nothing. And so there's a lot of fear of unknown that they have breaking off out there. And so it's incredibly difficult to getting them out of the situation is just the first part of it, but they're going to have to continue to self-rescue in many ways. And the best thing we can do is set up resources where they can have everything they need in order to keep moving themselves forward. And then, myself, there is always a certain amount of self-care needed after. One of the indicators that I know where I know I need self-care is that I recognize that I might start becoming a little bit jaded toward this happening out there, or else if something just doesn't feel right, whether I'm waking up in the night and not sleeping well, or not wanting to eat, or just feeling a little bit of a loss, I know when that is happening that I need my own self-care. And I focus on making sure that I am healing myself, because this is an industry that shouldn't exist. It's a horrific thing, and even those who are countering human trafficking are being impacted in a way that we shouldn't have to deal with this. But it's a calling, and we just do it.
Well, I love that God has called you. You're the perfect guy for it. Unfortunately, the situation at the border is really making matters worse. Talk about that and how prevalent human trafficking is there.
Yeah, well, human trafficking is prevalent all over the country. Anywhere there's drug trafficking, there's human trafficking. And so if you look at what's happening in the border, if somebody wants to deny human trafficking happening through there, just ask them if there's drug trafficking. Do the borders allow more drug trafficking? If we have weak border security, absolutely. And human trafficking is directly connected to drug trafficking. And those that are trafficking drugs have children that are being exploited and traded off. And especially those who are addicted to some kind of drug, it's happening. And so drugs alone is horrible. Something I don't talk about too often with the border that I think people need to be aware of is academically, I have experience in intelligence, and I used to research the border a lot and study foreign terrorist organizations, and they are absolutely using the borders. And we have found tunnels on our border that mimic or are similar to tunnels found in Afghanistan and other areas. The tunneling technologies, they're utilizing the same things. I'm without going into too much detail, there are bad actors in the Middle East that are some of the worst for having slaves, and they are sharing each other's skill sets, and they're teaching each other. And along the border, they're also hanging out in the same sweaty brothels, and they're teaching each other. And so the more open our borders are, the more threat we have to our national security, and our, and not just national security, but our safety right here in our homes, especially those that live close to the border.
I'm glad you brought up the tunnels. Can you talk, we only have about a minute left. Can you talk about the tunnels and the dumbs? You have yeah. mentioned that to me before. Deep underground military bases. Can we talk about that or no?
No? I don't have the evidence to speak on it with authority. Okay. Sure, there's those that happen, but we do know that the tunnel technology found along the border is very similar to tunnel technology found in the Middle East areas that technology is shared.
I remember when you and I were first talking, Ted overheard me. I had you on speakerphone, and he's like, "You tell him to tell us where these people are, and we'll go get them. I'll get my buddies, and we'll go get them."
Yeah, you know, I'm vulnerable out here, how I do my work. I'm not declaring war against the traffickers. I'm letting God do that. I'm just doing what the Lord wants me to do. And the Lord knows how to capitalize on the mistakes that the traffickers make. And it gets us close to the victims and turn them. And that's how we turn them into survivors.
Yeah. Well, I'm so proud of you. I'm happy for you. And I'm so thankful that you and I have been connected and that we stay in touch. So Eros, God bless you. And for people who want more information, you can go to adaptiveops.org. Eros, thank you so much. God bless. That's all we have for today. Thank you so much for joining me on Faith and Freedom. I'm going to be here every Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern on realamericasvoice.com and also Rumble/Real America's Voice. Don't forget, when disaster strikes, because it probably will, you want to take care of your family. You could go to empshield.com and use the promo code Shemaine. And in a few weeks, my book, Killer House, is going to be available. So be the first to get notified when it's available by signing up on my website for my newsletter. You can go to ShemaineNugent.rocks. I hope you have an amazing day. Don't forget, as Esther 4:14 says, perhaps you were born for such a time as this. God bless.